An eighth prisoner vanished during the storming of the Bastille. That can't be true, can it? Hey, I'm Allie. I'm running on too much coffee and one late night of, you know, poking around an old cemetery with a very uncooperative EMF reader.
I'm Brianne. I did not poke around any cemeteries, thanks. I ate pasta, watched the rain, and didn't get yelled at by a Victorian headstone. Sorry, not sorry.
Welcome to The Veil, unsolved and unbelievable, where we dig into the weird stuff hiding in plain sight. Today we're going to Paris. Like, very dramatic Paris. Okay, so check this out. You've heard of Bastille Day, right? The parade, the fireworks, the whole liberty vibe. But some whisper that when the Bastille fell, there wasn't seven prisoners inside. There was an eighth. And he slipped out in the chaos.
Wait. We're doing ghost math now. Seven plus mystery equals eight. I call BS, but proceed.
Back to the story. Bastille Day is France's national day on 14th July. In France, people call it Le 14 Juillet or Fête Nationale, not really Bastille Day. It's a full-on public holiday. Offices close, towns do ceremonies, then fireworks and street parties. The big national centerpiece is the Paris military parade along the Champs-Élysées, from the Arc de Triomphe to the Place de la Concorde, with the president and diplomats reviewing. Since 1918, that's been the route. It's televised, and except for German occupation years and 2020's pandemic disruption, it's been amazingly consistent. But the date marks two things. First, 14 July 1789, the storming of the Bastille. Second, 14 July 1790, the Fête de la Fédération, a giant unity festival where Lafayette swore an oath to the Constitution, Talleyrand said mass in the rain, and even the king joined the oath. It's both rupture and reconciliation, right there in one date.
That's smart politics. You bake the revolution's drama and the feel-good unity into one cake. Efficient.
Here's what went down in 1789. Spring crisis. Estates General called. In June, the tennis court oath. On 11th July, the king sacks finance minister Jacques Necker. People freak out, fear foreign mercenaries. And by the morning of 14th July, crowds hit the Hotel des Invalides for muskets and cannons. Then they turn to the Bastille, that fortress prison infamous for lettres de cachet, those secret royal orders. The Régiment des Gardes Françaises had mutinied and joined the people, bringing training and some artillery know-how. After fighting, Governor Delaunay capitulates to avoid a massacre. But then shooting resumes. Something goes very wrong. Delaunay gets killed, several defenders die, and Jacques de Flesselles too. It's chaotic. And inside the Bastille they find only seven inmates. Seven, none of major political significance.
Which is the famous irony. Big scary symbol, tiny headcount. The point is symbolism, not occupancy.
Okay, next up, the mystery. This story is a fringe thing some archivists and, you know, history-obsessed weirdos like me whisper about. And I'll own it. My version of the theory is mine. Years ago, in the Archives de Paris, a conservator with ink-stained fingers pointed me to a water-warped ledger. He murmured, "Seven names entered, six lines struck out, one line that should be there, never written." Then he showed me this brittle plan of the Bastille's courtyards. In the margin, a faint pencil path curved to a tiny rear postern I'd never seen on the usual diagrams.
So, a smudgy ledger and a mystery door, conspiracy alert, or hear me out, water damage and someone's doodle.
Here's the deal. The morning mob's already armed from the Invalides. The Gardes Françaises with precision are in the mix. The governor agrees to surrender. Gates open, people surge. In that exact window, you can hide a needle in a haystack of cheers. If there was a royal detainee too hot to surface, someone held by lettres de cachet off the books, you spirit him through a side postern while everyone watches the front. Then, as the situation frays and shooting resumes, historians literally note it might have been a misunderstanding. The cover is perfect. People die. The narrative hardens around shock and victory. And when they take stock officially, there are seven prisoners to show the crowd.
Simpler. There were seven prisoners because there were seven prisoners. The Bastille by 1789 was administratively dull compared to its reputation. Paperwork existed, and if you're erasing someone, you don't leave a ghost breadcrumb in a ledger.
But the ledger's weirdness is exactly the point. Lettres de cachet terrified people because they were off-the-books tools. If you wanted to erase a name, you don't scratch it out. You never write it to begin with. The conservator even drew my eye to the tideline where the ink bled cleanly. Above the wave, the spacing suggested a missing entry. I know that's like a very nerdy forensic hunch, but still.
I mean, as a psychologist, I have to say humans are pattern machines. Give us noise and we'll find a face in the static. And the post-capitulation bloodshed having a disputed cause doesn't equal a cover operation. Chaotic crowds create misunderstandings. That's literally textbook.
Back to the facts. Official accounts say about 200 attackers died, one defender before the surrender. Then things go sideways and Delaunay and others are killed. No one could pin down who fired first in that resumed fighting. And later, when France made 14th July the national holiday in 1880, lawmakers deliberately tied it to both 1789 and the 1790 Unity Festival to soften how bloody the storming looked. So yeah, some argue that this framing conveniently spotlights unity and helps the awkward details fade.
That framing is politics, not a smoking gun. And if we're doing big picture, since 1918 the parade itself literally includes allies on purpose. German troops marched in 1994 with Eurocorps. British forces led in 2004 for the Entente Cordiale Centenary. There were flags for dozens of World War I combatant nations in 2014. It's diplomatic theatre, not cloak and dagger.
Totally. But think about stagecraft. You can signal alliances on the avenue, while a different story lives in the archive's basement. And the Bastille's reputation wasn't for clean bookkeeping. It was for arbitrary power. If any place could hide a nameless detainee, it's that fortress. I keep coming back to the contrast. A prison infamous for secret orders coughs up seven nobodies the day it falls. Isn't that bananas?
Or it's the most Occam's razor outcome ever. The symbol fell because the crowd feared repression and wanted powder and a victory, not because there was a VIP in a cell. Seven people in there fits with the Bastille's late-stage reality as less vital militarily and less stuffed with political prisoners than legend says. The revolution didn't need a hidden inmate to make its point.
So let me get this straight. If a name was never written, you'd expect no trace. That's the whole problem, Brianne. The absence is the clue. A path penciled to a postern. A ledger gap where water spared the silence. The guards, trained and mutinous, perfectly placed to run a quick extraction while everyone watched the main gate. You can almost hear the boots on the stones.
Hear survivorship bias. Also, if there was an eighth, where did he go next? There'd be a whisper trail after the fact. Meanwhile, we have robust documentation of, say, the Fête de la Fédération, the Paris route since 1918, even the interruptions, de Gaulle in London during occupation, the 2020 COVID change, yet zero solid evidence of a mystery escapee. That tells me the story thrives because the unknown is addictive.
Maybe. Or the best secret is the one you never celebrate. My theory says a person the crown could never afford to have paraded before an angry city was escorted out the back, and Paris roared on at the front. We still celebrate both the rupture and the unity. We just don't hear the eighth footfall in the drumline.
My counter is simple. Seven inmates documented inside, the renewed fighting likely a tragic misunderstanding. The Bastille's fall mattered because of what it symbolized, not because of a clandestine extraction. That's more than enough to change history.
All right, moving on. Bigger picture. What we choose to remember. Oaths in the rain, flags on the avenue, fireworks over the Seine. And what we blur, ledger edges, confusing gunfire, says a lot about us. We crave a mystery or we crave clarity. Usually both. Quick recap. If you want to dive deeper, read the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. It's short and powerful. Then watch a reputable public broadcaster documentary on the French Revolution and check footage of the Champs-Élysées parade to see that living ritual.
Plans for the rest of the day. I'm making tea, then I'm reading quietly and not running through any posterns. Revolutionary, I know.
I'm, like, kind of tempted to recheck that cemetery. Or maybe map out Paris alleys on Street View and listen for phantom drumbeats. Kidding. Mostly. Thanks for hanging with us. Send us your theories, your debunks, your favorite Bastille Day fireworks photos. Question everything, and we'll see you next time.